So in one, yeah, we have 1 year of experience with podcasting in 2.5 years.
Yep.
It's better than nothing.
I suppose, yeah. I like to people. I was rolling with a guy in jujitsu, and I was asking him how long he's been doing it, and he was like, "Well, for about 3 years, but it's more like a year of actual experience." So I was like, "That's a good way of thinking about it." But it's always like, the time passed anyway, so we could be on like episode 100. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I say the same thing to people that are working out when they ask me how long have you been working out for. I only count the years that I've been consistently lifting.
Yeah.
Because then you hear people say like, "Oh, I've been lifting for 12 years," and then you're just like, "I don't think you have the progress or the results to back up the fact that you've been lifting up for
Yep.
12 years."
Or it's like dudes that are like 25 who are trying to be coaches, which is fine. We need more good coaches, but they'll always be like, "I have 12 years of lifting experience." And I'm like, "Wait a second. You're 25 and you have 12 years of lifting experience. So you mean when you started screwing around in the weight room when you were 13, you're counting that? You probably went in and out of the gym. So like you actually have 4 years. You started doing 4 or 5 years of actual lifting experience. So
Just a
anywho.
heads up, I try to make that clear. I'm 24, but I do tell people that this is my 5th year of consistent lifting.
Well, that makes sense though. But if you were to like, when was the first time you screwed around in a weight room?
Oh man, probably when, just as you said, maybe when I
Like
was
when you were
13 years
13,
old. Yeah.
right? Exactly. So you're not like popping off there, like been lifting for 12 years. No. It's like you're the perfect example for that. So, okay. This is episode 50.
50, 5-0.
5-0, 2.5 years later. Let's talk about the lifting benchmarks. And this is an interesting one because if you start talking about lifting standards or how much you should lift at a certain body weight, or if you've been training for X amount of time, you should be able to lift this much. If you list off some standards on Twitter or on social media, you get crazy engagement because everybody wants to have their own opinion on this. So I think we need to define that first thing, though, when we're going to talk about it in the podcast here, we're going to talk about people that actually go to a gym on a consistent basis. So that 1% of the population that actually exercises, that has and goes to a gym membership, this is who we're talking about. Because if we were to take 100 people from the local Walmart and then have them test their lifts, the results would be skewed a lot.
Yeah, actually, if you are listening to this and you are consistent, give yourself a pat on the back. Just because Sam said you're the top 99th percentile of people in the world because you're just an average, you're just a consistent gym goer, not average. Cut that part out. I
Consistent
just meant
gym goer.
consistent. Yep.
So you get the golf clap for being a part of that elite group. And that's a hard one. Like that's kind of a standard in itself. So I guess we could start with that. Like how many people actually lift weights on a consistent basis? And we're saying like 99% of the population doesn't even exercise in the world. So then you can probably take an even smaller percentage of that actually have the gym membership. And it's a crazy small amount of people that actually lift. And when you're in the fitness industry, you like that's your world. So you just think everybody does it. But it's not the case at all.
That's why it's interesting now that you're bringing this up and we're talking about benchmarks that you should measure yourself upon. Because when you are going to a gym, at least a gym that a lot stronger people are going to, it really skews your perspective of what you think the norm is.
Yes. 100%. And it, not only in the gym, but like if you come from an athletic background, you are going to find yourself also very skewed. Like I grew up playing sports, so I was always around like athletic kids. Went to college, was always around the athletes in college, even outside of just the, you're in the classroom with other athletes. You're in the dorms with other athletes. You go to parties with other athletes. You're in just into part of that whole athletic department, and everybody's in pretty good shape. You know, that's where all the athletes are. And you don't realize when you step outside of it that not everybody is like that. So then when you start working with Gen Pop, like I do now, you realize the terrible condition the average person is in. And that's why we want to, when we talk about our benchmarks here from a lift perspective, we want to make sure it's for people that have actually been lifting weights for a significant amount of time consistently.
Yep.
But I think we should start with the bench press.
Every guy's now, favorite lift.
Every guy's favorite. So this one's kind of hard. I would consider myself a poverty bencher. I don't know if you consider you're a better bencher than I am.
I love how there's that term, and it's worldwide too. Poverty bencher.
Right? Right?
I've got a poverty bench. I've got a poverty squat.
I own this whole ass gym, and every single time somebody is like, "Oh, you own a gym?" And then they'll be like, "How much do you bench?" And I'm like, "Shut up. Ask me about my deadlift. Leave me alone."
That's the last thing people are asking you about.
Yeah, ask me about my deadlift, bro. For the bench press, though, now, like, Strength Level and a couple other websites have compiled actual data on this based on, like, body weights and heights. But I have one that I posted on Twitter multiple times and gets a ton of engagement, right? So we might as well just start here. Everybody likes to think in the plates. So like 135 is one plate on each side. Every 185 is, I guess 185 is 45s and 25s, but then 225, 315, 405. And, you know, like 135 pound bench press is extremely novice for men in the gym. But that's like a respectable female bench. Like if you can get your wife's bench to 135, like that's a pretty darn good female bench. You don't see a lot of women benching that much.
If you see a woman benching a plate in the gym, everyone's just, the eyes go towards the person benching, because they're like, you don't really see that often, a girl benching right? 135.
No, you don't. So if you're a woman and you're benching 135, like that is darn good. And this is honestly with the way women's upper body strength is in the way and how efficiently they're able to recruit their muscles. That's not really, that's a good bench, like regardless of the female's body weight. Like, you know, the average female now is something like 5'4" and like 170, 180 pounds, which again, that's kind of like dudes now are like an average of 5'8" and like 220 or something like that. It's just insane how big people are, but like, it's still pretty good bench. This brings up, there's one particular time I was absolutely amazed. So do you know what kilo plates?
Yep.
So they're 55 pounds, whatever. Yep. So a couple months after I opened the gym, I was a little bit more advertised towards powerlifting then. I would have, you know, I had that on my website and stuff. And I got contacted by this woman who said she was coming through town, and she was like, "Hey, do you guys have a combo rack? I need to do a bench press session." And I was like, you don't get that call very often where it's like, "Hey, I need to bench press. I just need a day pass." So she came in and I let her in, and she looked pretty strong. Well, anyway, she started the warm up and loaded on the red 25 kilogram plates on each side, which comes out to like 150 something. She did that for a couple warm up sets. And I thought maybe she'd put on like 2.5 or 5 kilos on each side on top of that. Nope. Went to 10 kilos on each side, which brings it to like 200 pound bench. And she hit it for like 4 or 5. And then I was like, okay, that has to be almost where she's at.
Oh my gosh.
Nope. She went from that to 242, which I think 242 is like 242. I'm not sure what that is in kilos. 100 kilos total?
A little bit over 100 kilos.
110 kilos?
I think.
No, 120. No.
109 kilos. 110 kilos, pretty much.
So like 110 kilos, and she repped that out for like four or five triples and then back off. So she wasn't like overly big or anything. I was kind of asking her, oh, have you ever like used a combo rack, trying to show her how to use the Texas combo rack? And she was like, shut up. And just fucking went and tripled 242 multiple times. Well, anyway, that's like an elite female bench. And turns out she was going to like a national powerlifting meet, like on her way to traveling it. But anyway, let's get back on topic. I just thought that was, there I am.
Man, just want to say, that's crazy. That's crazy. I've never seen that like, before.
You've never seen her just like stack them up like that. I was like, holy shit. So anyway, let's go on. Like a 185-pound bench press. So that's 45s, 25s, unless you use communist plates like Kyle does.
The Come on, man. Stuff. We use plates. We use pound plates over here.
Oh, whatever. But like 185-pound bench for men, again, that's a very novice number, but it's also where it starts getting hard for most people that are of regular size. And I'm convinced that's where like 99% of novices just quit.
Yep.
In that range, really in that like 185 to 225 range.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then when you bench two plates, so 225, you kind of, regardless of how big you are, you kind of start looking like you lift. That's where I would consider, like, if you had a two plate bench, you probably look like you lift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, are we talking for singles here? A one rep max of 225?
Or
are
we talking about
working sets?
If you can just bench that with control, like you have decent upper body strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you weigh less than that. So if you're like 185 and you bench 225, like that's pretty good. That's really good, you know?
Yeah.
That obviously changes. Like if you're 300 pounds and you're only benching 225, from a body weight perspective, that's not that good. But if you just started, like say you've been lifting for a year and you started when you were 300 pounds and now you're 280 and you're benching 225, like that's pretty good. You're probably making a huge change to your body composition. So I always feel like once you're benching two plates, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yep.
I feel like. Yep. Now if you go to a powerlifting meet, if you bench 275 to 315, that's like a golf clap there. People will be like,
isn't that essentially a beginner powerlifter? Would you say that?
Yeah. That's like a beginner powerlifter at a local meet. Or, you know, obviously at a national or bigger time meet, nobody's going to be impressed at all, or you just won't be there. But at like a local powerlifting meet in bumfuck Idaho where I live, you'll get a little golf clap for something like that. Like it'll be good, but it's not really crazy. So I always feel like people that bench 275 to 315, if they're in a lot of like really big kind of strong blue collar type dudes can get there relatively easy. But, that takes a lot of work to get there. You know, how long did it take you to bench 275?
I will say there's multiple times you plateau as a lifter. One is, as you mentioned, anywhere between 185 to 225. That's where the first group of people usually quit lifting. And I think the second group where people quit is after they hit two plates, they're extremely motivated. But most of people that I've seen hit two plates run into issues before they get to 275. Anywhere from 250 to 275, they'll struggle in that area. So I also struggled in that area for a little bit. But overall, this is a little skewed because I came from an athletic background and I did train. I messed around in the gym. So I didn't properly bench press, but I did bench press. But from when I started consistently training, I think it took me 9 months. Nine months
there.
To get to, around 9 months. I think I hit two plates in 3 months, 2.5, 3 months, but that's only because I already had trained in the past.
You'd had the background. Yeah,
exactly.
But like, if you've never lifted before, say you're a 25-year-old and you've never lifted before, maybe you didn't play any sports in high school. You're just kind of that regular dude, probably working accounting or some shit. And you start lifting 275 to 315. That's going to take you. Like, if you don't have a background in it,
yeah,
that'll take you 3, 4, 5 years, maybe, depending on how serious you're like for the average person.
And one thing I want to make clear is also it's that much more impressive if you can go from a guy that's literally been benching 80 pounds up to 225. That is so much more impressive than somebody that's just genetically gifted and just benched 315 in a month and a half because they already had insane genetics.
And they're just strong. I work with people like that. A couple guys in the gym, they never really did a whole lot of lifting, but they're these big, broad, hairy, American, burly, blue collar guys. And they're benching 275 for five within a couple months, just because they should have been playing football, but they decided to do whatever. But yeah, that's always a really respectable bench for the general gym goer. Like, if you're benching 275 or 315, that's pretty darn good. However, at a powerlifting meet, that's like novice powerlifting numbers, right? And then from there, that's where it starts getting a little freaky. I feel like people can go a lifetime and barely hit 315, regardless of how much they train.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking like 405, there's a few different things. One, you're extremely dedicated and you have the genetics for it, so you are really strong. But there's a couple other things that can lead you into being able to do that. One is juice.
Yeah, I was just going to say cough, cough, Tren.
One is juice, Tren. The other one is being like a really big fatty that's trained a lot. So if you're like 300, or some dudes that are like walking around at 320 pounds and they're benching 400 pounds, like, that's a heavy ass weight, but it ain't like in comparison to the body weight, that's just not that good. So you're really strong, right? And you have elite genetics, you're on juice, or you're just big and fat. And that's why you can bench 405, right?
Like, realistically, yes. Those like are the three categorizations.
For me, like, I'm like a 300-pound bencher. I hate saying it because it sucks. But, like, the amount of effort and time it would take for me to get to 405, like, I would have to push my body weight up to, like, 300 pounds probably. And even then, I don't know if it would happen. It's just like the genetics that I have, plus the long arms, the structure I have. I don't know if it's like 405 is ever even in the cards.
Yeah,
for me.
Right? And another thing too is I think biomechanics only matter once you get to a certain point in your lifting journey. For example, for you, right, talking about going from a 300 bench to 400 or 405, that's where stuff like the length of your arms matter, right? But
yes,
this doesn't matter for the average gym goer, because sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, I have a short torso, or oh, my arms are super long, oh, my arms are super short, which is what nobody says their arms are super short, but most people say, oh, my arms are super long, that's why I can't bench big numbers. But that doesn't really apply to anybody benching from 0 pounds all the way, or 45 pounds being the bar, all the way up to like at least 225. It does not matter.
That doesn't apply until you're a lot more advanced.
Where you're literally a power lifter.
Until you've like reached the capacity for it a little bit. And like, for me, it's not because I haven't been trying, you know? So it's like, it is what it is at this point. And I'd either need to pick better parents, shoot up the juice, or get really, really fat. And one of them I can't control, and the other two I'm not going to do. So Like a 405 pound bench isn't worth getting diabetes over. So anyway,
yeah.
And then, you know, beyond that, there are people out there that bench beyond that. And so like a 500 pound bench, I only know one guy in my area that can do that. And he is already a huge lifter, a huge guy to begin with. He walks around at like 330 pounds. So he has the genetics for it. He's on all sorts of sauce, probably like a grand a month worth of testosterone, juice, everything. And on top of that, he's bloated to the max. So, you know, if you're benching 500, there's not a lot of guys benching 500 that are like 200 pounds and shredded. They're all juiced up and fat. Right. And then past that is basically when you get into geared lifting with the bench shirts, yep, and all of that. So if you're benching like 600, you're elite. You have elite genetics or you're fat. So anyway, like a bench press.
I think it's like, elite genetics and fat.
Elite, it's usually, yeah, 600 plus bench. You have elite genetics. You have the juice and you are fat. So, you know, like you get on Twitter, you get on Instagram, and coaches and stuff will always try to be like bashing each other over, oh, I bench 405. I'm so much better than these other coaches who are a little bit more normal from a strength perspective. Choose me over them, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, first off, you're probably juicing. Second off, you pick the right parents to be that strong. Right. So anyway, let's see. Okay. Well, let's talk squats. Kind of like what you were saying, if you're in the gym, congrats. So if you can only squat the bar, that's kind of a win in itself. I'm out of curiosity, what does strength level say is the squat standards?
They categorize it by body weight, but from a beginner, novice, intermediate, advanced, elite, beginner is 141, so essentially a plate. Yep. Novice is 206, so that's plate 35. Intermediate is 287, which is two plates 30. And then advanced is 380, which is three plates 32.5, I want to say. And then elite is 485. So just right around five plates.
And this pulls all of the gym goers, which is, you know, that's pretty good when it comes to overall. And if you look at the charts on the body weight, obviously the heavier the body weight is, the more the lift is. But that's about right. You know, beginner can do 135, novice 205. Intermediate 287, advanced 381. So yeah, like when it comes to 135, like a novice, that would be the equivalent of like what I could get your wife squat up to within a few months of training.
Yep.
So obviously nothing to write home about for a dude, but 135, if a woman can squat 135, then she's not limited by strength. Like, for the most part. So that's always respectable for them. And honestly, it's the same thing at that 185 to 225 pound mark. It's the same thing as the bench. Like, that's where most people quit.
You think so?
I feel like.
I think it's later.
225. Okay, maybe that 225 to 275 mark.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more like when people quit. Or where they stall out and decide that squats just aren't for them anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people like to do.
Yeah.
What would you say? Would you say like 315 is a respectable?
I would definitely say squat. That. If you walk into a commercial gym, you're not, I mean, it depends what gym you're going to. If you're going to a powerlifting gym, nobody cares that you're squatting three plates. But if you are squatting three plates at a commercial gym, I think you'd get some eyes just because, number one, not many people are squatting, barbell squatting in a commercial gym. And if they are, they're not doing three plates and above. So I would say it's a pretty respectable number. If you were to categorize it, I would definitely say it's intermediate. Or
yeah,
not even intermediate. I would say it's beginner intermediate because you can hit three plates relatively quickly. Obviously, yeah. Once again, depending on genetics. But I think from both of our standpoints, if we were to just train a complete beginner, I think I could get them hitting three plates in 7 months.
Yeah.
Six months to a year,
depending on.
Yeah, exactly.
Who they
six
are.
Months to a year.
If they're like 45, though, probably not. It's going to take a little longer, but like a younger guy in their 20s, as long as they're doing what they need to do, it should be less than a year, like a year or less to get to 315.
Exactly. And I think you're still considered beginner up until that 1 year mark. And even then, I think you're a beginner all the way until year two, end of year two. Like, I think intermediate starts around year three, to be honest.
It kind of depends on like the training advancement and stuff, but yeah, totally. Now, past that, let's get to the golf clap at the local powerlifting meet. Like 405 to 500. That's about where you, when you get to a powerlifting meet, if you're in the 405 to 500 range, that's where you get some golf claps. That being said, you could just be fat and on juice. That's always a thing there. But like 405 to 500 is kind of where you start reaching that like genetic potential for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Where you're going to float around in there for a long, long time. And it could be 5 years between you hitting 405 and you hitting 500 or 10.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's where it slows down a ton, regardless of, you know, body size and stuff. But, you know, that's a really respectable squat for the average gym goer. Like if somebody walked in and had four or five plates on the bar at a commercial gym and they're burying it down to depth, everybody's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Again, powerlifting meet, powerlifting gym. Again, you just get golf claps. You're just like any other bro. You're like a 405 to 500. You're like a blue belt, but in the powerlifting gym, you know? Now, once you get past that, like 600, we're going to go back to the really strong elite juice or fat.
Are we talking about 500 plus right now? Because you mentioned 405 to 500.
No, I just jumped to 600, but 500 to 600 is its own game. That's either like a really, really good natural lifters numbers, like really elite, has been working at it for a really long time, or you're on the juice and you're fat and mass moves mass. That's kind of where it is for 500 to 600. Like you don't see a lot of lean guys doing that much.
No, you don't. You don't.
No, not at all. So then anything beyond that is kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're strong. If you're doing like 700 plus pound squats, you're probably geared. So squat suits, all of that silliness. So like from an expectation standpoint, most people for bench and for squat, like if it's a guy and he's normal, it's like, it is an absolute race to see how fast I can get them to bench press 225 in an app, and a race to see how fast I can get them to squat 315.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the main.
Yeah. I think the main thing here is that within a year's worth of progress, most individuals can get to a 225 bench and a 315 squat.
Yeah.
Most as in maybe 80%, I would say.
Yeah. Barring like some other factors.
Yes. Obviously lifestyle, like health, predisposed health conditions, their weight, obviously, because I think the big thing we didn't really talk about here is how heavy you weigh as well. Somebody that's a male that's 5'5", that weighs 130, 125 is going to have a hard time getting to two plates versus somebody that's 5'10", 190, 200 pounds.
Like that, yeah, you're going to struggle. So you just have to like bring it down a little bit. So like if you're 5'5" and you're a guy and you're 140 pounds, like that 185 bench is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And like 225 is like elite for your size. If you're benching twice your body weight, like pretty close to twice your body weight, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy strong, but it's not like, it's still not on the same level as somebody benching 600 pounds if they're 300. Like it's just, there's a spectrum there. It's not the same.
It's weird because at some point body weight ratios are important, but then at some point it flips and absolute weight matters more than the ratio.
Yes, 100%.
Because your weights only get to a certain point where your ratios will peak, but past that, you'll have to actually gain some weight and a bit of muscle to build that absolute strength up. And
yep.
That's the only thing I want to say now, because I know some people are talking about body weight ratios as well, and comparing body weight ratios versus absolute weight or absolute strength. And there's a little contradiction when there's a lot of arguments around that stuff. And I think both sides have to realize that although body weight ratios are important and absolute strength is important, there's like a middle ground where both of them have to kind of realize their expectations, and it kind of flips around from, ooh, body weight ratios are really important. And then all of a sudden you have to switch your mindset to, okay, if I want to get stronger, my ratios will go down, but absolute yep. strength takes over from there. And that's yep. what I have to kind of compare myself to after a while.
Yep. And we can like lean this talk into a deadlift. So there's always going to be that like 140 or 150 pound guy that can deadlift like 400. And he's like walking around with his dick out being like, oh, I deadlift three times my body weight. Three times,
yes.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm stronger than the guy who's deadlifts 900 pounds. And it's like the guy that's 300. That's where that spectrum that you're talking about kicks in. If you deadlift 900, you are way fucking stronger than the 150 pound guy that does 400 pounds. And that, you know, there's a giant, giant difference. That weight is so much different. So yeah,
no, that's exactly what I wanted to segue it off to, because I think deadlifts are the biggest thing that people that are lighter really enjoy using that body weight ratio as saying, oh, look at me, I'm really big. But then at the same time, you got to realize that, yes, if you're 130 pounds and deadlifting four plates, that's very impressive. I don't want to take that accomplishment away from anyone who does that, because that's actually insane. But at some point, that lifter that's 130 pounds and deadlifting 400, if they want to reach 500, they'll probably be fine. But I want to say 500 plus, they will have to start gaining a little bit of weight to build a little bit more muscle to get to that point. So as you were mentioning, I don't even want to say a 900 pound deadlifter. I just want to say a 600 pound deadlifter or 585. Somebody that's 180 deadlifting 585. I'm going to go off on a limb and say that is more impressive than a guy deadlifting 400 at 130 pounds, just because the guy probably building to the 585, number one, they had to build a shit ton more muscle to get there.
Yep.
I think there's obviously it's, I don't want to compare everything, but if we are going to make comparisons here, there's a point where body weight ratios are not as important as absolute strength.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we can lead in here onto the deadlift benchmarks really quick. Let's just check. What does
strength level
say? And then what does Sam Case say?
Okay. So strength level for beginner is sitting at 173 pounds. So what is that, plate?
Yeah.
20 or plate 17.5, I think. Novice is 246 pounds, which is probably around two plates 10. Intermediate is at 336 pounds, which is three plates 10. And then advanced is sitting at 440 pounds, which is four plates. Math is not working right now.
Yeah, four plates in a little
20-ish,
bit.
20-ish. Yeah. And then elite is 552.
Yep. So that's like for an average gym goer, that probably hangs right on tight. Now for power lifters, that's very, you know, like the advanced and elite, like a 440-pound deadlift, regardless of if you're 150 pounds or if you're 225 pounds, a 440 deadlift ain't doing it,
yeah.
You know, for a guy. I wouldn't consider that advanced for a powerlifter. And 552 is considered elite for the average gym goer. But again, for powerlifters, you're still getting golf claps for that, mm-hmm. for sure. Now, like for the plate marks things, 135-pound deadlift is still more than most people ever deadlift in their life because they don't deadlift. But your grandma could lift that within a few months of training, unless she's like 90. But like a 7-year-old lady can get to 135 relatively quickly. And then like 225, two plates, that's your wife's max after a few months of training. A lot of women can get there relatively quickly, unless, again, they're like 100 pounds.
Yep.
And then it takes long. Now, 315 is kind of where you start getting stronger than 99% of other gym goers. And I think that was around the intermediate level, right?
Yeah.
And then 405 is when you're stronger than like 99% of gym bros. So not just like the people that go to the gym, but the people that are actually lifters. There isn't a lot of people that actually work their way up to a 405 deadlift, but in powerlifting and strength circles, that's not very much, right? And then once you hit 500, that's when you start getting golf claps at a local meet, between like 500 to 600. That's about where it starts to become respectable for a powerlifter of normal size. And then past that, again, you're really strong if you get to 600. Like you're kind of, if you deadlift 600, regardless of your body weight and everything else, like you're kind of a sicko.
Yeah.
Like you've had to put some fucking time into that. And 700,
jeez,
you have genetics on your side. You have juice on your side. And you know, you have elite genetics. You're really, really strong. Like not a lot of people just work their way up to that were regular at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the classic case of, like it's the classic case of you're a 700-pound deadlifter because you were built for that. You didn't really build yourself up to a 700-pound deadlift. Like you're there because it was in you already.
Yeah. I think that's where like genetics really play a part, where your baseline is just so much higher than everyone else's and your rate of improvement is also so much quicker.
Yeah.
Because for me, my poverty lift is the deadlift.
Is the deadlift. Yeah.
For the life of me, I cannot hit a 5-plate deadlift. And man, it sucks to say.
Dude, you need to get like your visa and come here for 6 months and you'll get there. Just start yelling at you. But no, that I think that like 600 is about that cap for the sicko natty lifter. That's some serious shit.
Yeah.
It's the best way of saying that. Or you're like really strong, fat, and whatever there. So that's that like 500 to 600-pound range is where it kind of transitions to not mattering how much you weigh, or it's just impressive. Like a 600-pound deadlift, even if you're 300 pounds, like that's a lot of weight.
That's still a lot of weight.
And and if you're 200 pounds and you've got a 400-pound deadlift, it is not the same thing as a guy that's 300 pounds deadlifting 600. The 600 is still better. You know?
Yep. Yep.
Because he does 400 for a warm-up set of 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There we go.
But as for like the whole standards here, I've changed my tune on them. I used to be kind of like, oh, it doesn't matter. Just like you need to focus on where you are right now. But I've changed my tune ever since like working with regular people, because I've found that the faster I can get my clients to hit some of these benchmarks, like a 225 bench or a 315 squat or a 405 deadlift, the faster I can get them to hit those marks, the more dedicated they are to the training, right? The more they kind of fall in love with it as they're hitting those benchmarks, and the more consistent they are. So like if you, for instance, are unsure of like what your goals are, like try and make those benchmarks a goal. Like try and hit the 315 squat, try and hit the 225 bench, try and hit the 405 squat and beyond, because it really gives you something to show up and train for. And people say numbers don't matter, but as you can see from the engagement that this type of thing gets online, this stuff does matter. And you might as well train for them and see how fast you can get to them.
Yeah, I really agree with that point. They're just good milestones to reach for too, because they're so standardized. You know how much a plate weighs, you know how much a 25 weighs. So every time you just add on a plate or a 25 and another plate, that's just another goal to reach.
Yep.
So it just makes it a lot easier instead of thinking, I want to be 1.5 times my body weight. Okay, that means if I'm 135 pounds, you know, you're kind of going to the decimals of trying to figure, I'm 135.6 pounds. That means I have to be, you know, squatting 270 point whatever. It's like, no, that's not as realistic as just saying my goal is to hit a 225 squat or a 275 squat or a 315 squat.
Yep.
So much easier to do it just with the absolutes of the standardized plates.
Exactly. So
you know what though? I think my perspective is slightly more on don't worry too much about the benchmarks, but at the same time, the benchmarks are good milestones to have in mind. And I think it's a little bit of a combination of the two, but a big thing here is to focus on your rate of improvement.
Yes.
You should always be constantly improving. I think it's not, if you're going to use the victim mentality of saying, oh, I cannot hit it this weight because my proportions are not in tune for this lift, or, you know, I'm always injured or whatnot. I don't think it's nice to use those excuses for why you can't hit the weights that you want to hit.
No.
At that point, you just have to look at yourself and be like, I'm not going to make any excuses to why I cannot hit this weight, and I'm just going to go do it.
Yes. All right. Episode 50. We finally made it.